You're listening to the Unsigned Chat podcast. Hello and a very warm welcome to a brand new episode of the Unsigned Chat podcast with me, your host, Matt. How are you all doing? It's been a while since the last episode, but I'm pleased to say that the Unsigned Chat podcast is back for a brand new series. Each episode will have exciting independent and unsigned artist guests on the show, where we will delve deep to know more about the artist and their songs. In this episode back, it is no different, so let's jump straight into the episode. I'm so pleased to welcome to the show Manchester-based singer-songwriter Beth McKenzie. So Beth, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So for people that obviously don't know anything about you or haven't heard of you, do you want to give you a little introduction about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a singer-songwriter from Manchester in the UK. And yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. I've been writing songs for quite a while, professionally only the last year and a half, 2 years. But yeah.
So when was that sort of specific moment that you decided that music was what you wanted to do?
I actually haven't got a specific moment. I've been playing music since I can remember. I grew up playing classical music. I played the flute for a very long time. And then around like 15, 16, I kind of like moved away from music for a bit. And then I never really intended to, my intention was never to like do music as a career, but I started kind of writing songs, more like pop songs instead of classical, of course, when I was about 16, 17. And then I think I posted a video to TikTok and people seemed to like it. So I kept going. And then I thought, okay, I want to do this. And that was kind of, it was more of like a gradual over time sort of thing.
So sort of something you hadn't planned on doing, but did well on TikTok.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I had no intention of doing this. Never. But it just kind of sort of happened. And I'm just going with the flow, to be honest.
And what made you take up the flute? That's an interesting instrument. What was the reason behind that?
That was because I started playing the flute when I was like seven, and I think it's because I'd seen a woman on TV playing the flute or something, and I was like, oh, that looks really cool, like that sounds really cool, I want to play it. So I begged and begged and begged my parents for the longest time to, I don't know why it was the flute I picked up on, like, just I had a bee in my bonnet about it. And then I started it and I just like I loved it straight away.
Wow, okay. Because most people, when they sort of think of a musical instrument that they want to learn, kind of go either like piano, guitar, sort of something along the way. So yeah. Flute is quite an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, I have played, I do play mainly now. I play the piano a lot more than I play the flute, but I don't know what it was about the flute. I think it was just like, I don't know. That's such a good question, actually. I just locked onto it and thought, yeah, that's what I want to play.
So are you from like a musical family then, or...?
My dad is quite musical. He never studied music, but he has this like insane talent where he can just hear a song and straight away he can just play it. So he was always kind of like playing on the piano when I was younger. And you know, there was always a musical instrument in the house somewhere. So yeah, I'd say I definitely grew up around music.
And did you study music then? Have you got any?
I actually haven't. I've done like the grades, like, you know, like when kids do grades, like I think I got up to like grade 5 or something on the flute. But apart from that, no, I haven't like studied it like officially, like in school or anything. I didn't even take music for GCSE.
So with piano then, is that all self-taught?
For the most part, I think I did like a couple of piano lessons here and there because my brother did piano lessons when we were growing up. But again, it was more like on the classical side, so I never really like took to it until and it was just again when I was just kind of sat, like, it was like this around the start of lockdown actually. I had a lot more time on my hands. We had a piano in the house, so I was just kind of like, yeah, listening to songs that I wanted to play, kind of like figuring it out every now and then, asking my dad like, hey, what do you think this is on here, and then kind of looking at what he's doing, kind of just picking it up. So yeah, it just kind of developed over time.
I learned keyboard during lockdown, but I did that via YouTube. It's amazing what you can learn, what musical instruments.
Oh gosh, I have learned like everything under the sun. I've learned more from YouTube than I have from school, I'm sure.
I don't think you're the only person that's ever said that. I think there's quite a few people that probably think like that.
Definitely, it's right there when you want it. No, I never actually took to like tutorials on YouTube, which I know a lot of people do, and I have done with other things, but with the piano, I don't know. I think I was just more, I think because I wasn't like actively trying to learn, I was just kind of messing around, enjoying myself, and I guess something about like sitting down and learning it, like learning from a video, just wasn't appealing to me. I just kind of wanted to just do whatever.
So, are you more sort of can learn by ear?
I definitely find it a lot easier, I think, to learn by ear. Like I read, well, I don't know if I can anymore because I honestly haven't read sheet music in a good couple of years. But when I was playing the flute, of course, I was playing classically, so it was a lot of sheet music. But then I think that's part of the reason why I went to the piano, because it is something you can learn from by ear. And I think that was part of the attraction. It was just enjoyable to just be able to kind of figure it out, you know.
Yeah, see, I can't read sheet music neither.
No, yeah, I honestly don't think I don't think actually that's interesting. I'm gonna go after this. I'm gonna go downstairs and I'm gonna find some sheet music and I'm gonna see if I can still read it because I honestly haven't in like probably 2 years now.
That's not that long, though, so you might still be able to read
Well, I'll find out.
it. So, what's your sort of goals for this year? That obviously we're in the midst of summer now. So what you're wanting to do over the next sort of 3 months with your music?
Well, that is a good question because I keep asking myself that every day, and there are so many potential like routes to take, and there's so many different ways of doing it. Honestly, I think I'm very grateful. I'm very spoiled for choice. I think there's a lot of different ways to go about it, but ultimately, I want to keep recording and writing and releasing music. The reason I haven't the last time I released a song was in February, and it was a song I really, really liked. But as an independent artist with not very many connections, I felt like it kind of just not flopped because I'm very proud of it and I'm glad I put it out. But it didn't reach its full potential, and I have so many songs that I love now, and I don't want to almost put them out if I know that they're not going to get the same the love they kind of deserve, whether that be like a PR behind it or a playlisting that you get from having certain contacts in the industry. So I guess right now my biggest priority is networking, and kind of getting to know the ins and outs of the business side of the industry a little bit more, because it's all well and good being able to write and release music and sing, but I think like most difficult part for me, at least, is like the business side of it and knowing what to do, how to go about it. So I'm really trying to turn my mind to that at the moment. Because like I said, I don't wanna waste any more music that I know can do a lot better than it would if it's just me by myself.
Do you find that you, with music at the moment, then you wear like a lot of hats of all the different kind of jobs you've got to do with your music?
Oh yeah, it's like it's 1% music. I mean, I'm sure any musician out there will completely understand what I mean. There's a million and one things to do, and it takes, I mean, it only t when I'm in a songwriting session, you know, a song is written in 2 hours. That's the music side of it done. It's everything that comes after that, the social media, the PR, the networking. It's ridiculous. So yeah, it's just getting a handle on all of that. That's what I find a challenge, because there's always something to do, and it's like, oh my God, there's so much on my plate. How do I like split up my time? And it's just, yeah, you just got to wrap your head around it.
Have you looked to see what sort of events there are that might help you in that respect then?
Yeah, so I'm definitely always networking online, that's for sure.
Okay.
And I honestly don't know what musicians were able to do before social media. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse because, of course, now you have to be on social media all the time. But it's such a gift, really. It's such a good tool. The amount of people that I have met, like even just in the past like 6 months through social media, is insane. And there are like so many events that you get told about because you see a tweet or because someone has put you in a group chat with someone else who has mentioned something. So online networking and events, very easy. I think in-person events are a bit harder to come across to be able to attend because obviously you have other commitments, and I think it's a lot more difficult to attend in-person events, but like online, I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I mean, I hope so, yeah.
Speaking obviously of social media and online, then obviously you've now joined Threads.
Yeah.
So for people that obviously don't know what Threads is, it's a new app
It's
by the
basically fake
Instagram.
Twitter. Yeah.
Well, yes. Perfectly well summed up there, Beth. Perfectly
Yeah.
well summed.
Yeah,
It's
I'm not
fake
gonna beat
Twitter.
around the bush. It's just another it's social media apps are just always copying each other, aren't they? It's like and it's the same thing, but I'm quite grateful that Threads has come about because I never really like got started on the Twitter thing. I never really I still don't actually. I think I have an account that has like 20 followers because I've tweeted like two things over the past 3 years. But yeah, it's yet another social media app to add to the list, which is a bit more stressful, but it's exciting. It should be fun.
I do like Threads because there's no DM function.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to navigate, I think. For me, anyways, like yeah, I hadn't thought about that actually. There are no DMs, are there? But that's
No.
good. That is good. You're right.
There's no DMs and there's no hashtag. Hashtags don't work either.
You're right. They don't, do they? Because I was thinking
Nope.
about that the other day.
So you can't search topics or anything.
No, I think it's kind of like I actually haven't searched for anything on Threads because it doesn't have like the trending. It doesn't have the trending page or anything either.
No, so it's like a fake Twitter,
Yes.
but the free trial version of something.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yep. Meta need to hire us for their marketing for Threads because we have hit the nail on the
Let's do it.
head.
So going back to your music, what's your writing process? Well, obviously you say you could write songs in 2 hours. Now that is good going to write songs within 2 hours. So what's your writing process? How does it all work for you?
So it's my process is very different when I'm alone writing a song, when I'm in a songwriting session with other artists, producers, songwriters. So when I'm by myself, I will always write on the piano, just because that's kind of where I started and it's where I feel most comfortable. I've tried writing with the guitar and I love working with guitars, but when someone else is playing it, because I just don't have the coordination, if I'm being honest. My wrist just doesn't bend the way you need to, for the chords. So yeah, I'll just sit down at the piano, kind of just find something I want to write about. I never have a shortage of ideas. I mean, there's always something going on in my brain, so it's just pulling out what I want to write. I'll always start with like a melody, a chord progression, or if there's a phrase or a lyric that has come to me for another song that I don't want to use for that song, I'll take it as like a starting point and almost like mind map a song off a quote. So it's always like starting from, yeah, either a specific lyric or a specific melody, and then kind of all hell just breaks loose when it comes to everything else. It just kind of stems from there. I don't actively think like, okay, let's go to this section, let's go to this section, let's go to this section, because you have the, what's the word? You have the, nope, can't think of the word. You have the, oh my God, what is that word when you have the
Okay.
advantage? You have the advantage. Yeah, there we go. You have the advantage of just being alone. Like when, well, I do anyways, when I'm sat at my piano, I'm alone. I don't have any time pressure. I don't have any like outside opinions. So I don't have to stick to a schedule. However, when I am writing in a session, obviously you're coordinating with a lot of people. If the session is for me as an artist, and I kind of get to kind of run the session. But if I'm in as a songwriter for another artist, then obviously I kind of work in their way of working, which is quite cool actually, to work in different structures, because it means that you can, like, you're thrown into any songwriting situation, you'll be able to kind of adapt really quick. So that when I'm writing with others, it's definitely a lot more structured, you know, verse, chorus, melody, okay, what do you think of this harmony? And it is very quick. Those are the sessions that last like an hour and a half, 2 hours, which is obviously a lot easier to write a song in an hour or two when you've got like three other contributors.
So do you prefer ideally writing on your own, or do you quite like writing with others? Which is your sort of preference?
That's a really good question. I'm going to be really annoying and I'm going to say both. I think it's great to write with other people, because otherwise I would kind of just be writing in my own style. There would be no one kind of forcing me to confront my comfort zones and kind of explore other paths. But likewise, I'm very, very appreciative of the time I have alone to kind of just work on some of the ideas that I have that I'm not quite ready to share with others in a songwriting session. Because once you throw out an idea, it's out there. Anyone can take it and do what they want with you, what they want with it. So yeah, I enjoy both. If I had to choose, I would say by myself, just because I really enjoy it.
That's okay. I suppose the thing as well is, when you're writing with others, then it's kind of like a learning curve. You can learn from them. You
can
also, it's also networking as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there is not, I have never gone into a session and not learned something. Every time I'm working with anyone new, or even the same people, like, you're right, it is such a good learning curve, because you will learn so many things within the space of like 10 minutes. It's great.
So when you record your songs, do you use the same studios, the same producers each time, or do you kind of like to mix it up and work with different people on your own?
Yeah, so it's definitely a mix up. I personally have producers that I really enjoy working with, that I do a lot with. But I am always eager to work with new producers, because you never know what a new person is going to bring to the table. And I think each working relationship you have with a producer is vastly different to what you have with other producers, and I think that's a huge advantage, because like you say, you're learning stuff constantly and you're forced to use different parts of your mind, and that's kind of when you like reach your full potential. I mean, I'm nowhere near my full potential, I never will be, but I think that's good, because you're constantly able to learn and experiment with new things.
And how many songs have you written so far then for yourself? Approximately, not exact.
Like, oh, I don't know, maybe like in the past year, probably like, I don't know, it's in the hundreds. So like,
wow.
1.5, 200. Not all of them are like hits, and some of them some of them will definitely never see the light of day. but the way I see it, each song that I write, no matter how crap it is, like it will always bring me closer to finding the sound I want. Yeah, so I've written quite a lot of songs.
Well, that is a lot of songs to have written.
Yeah.
So you've certainly got a few albums worth ready.
Oh yeah, but there won't be any album for a long, long, long time.
Do you think you'll do an album, or do you think you'd do like an EP? Which route do you think you'd go down first?
I think most artists start off with an EP, mm-hmm. which will probably be me. You know, I'm not an outlier. There's a reason that most artists start with an EP. I mean, if the opportunity came, someone came knocking and said, hey, do you want to do an album? I'm like, sure, I'll do it. But I do think an EP, but still that's going to be a while off also, because at the moment I'm just focusing on singles. I think it's in the position that I'm in right now, I think it's the smartest thing to do, just releasing singles.
And what's your favourite single that you've written so far?
So my favourite one is my most recent one, but that's probably because I'm not as sick of it as I am the others, because the others were written in, some of them were written in 2020, some of them were written in 2021. And, you know, I'm just, every time someone brings them up, I'm like, ugh, no. Like, I've heard that song way too many times. I love them all, of course. They're all my babies. But You Were the one I released in February that I wrote and produced with Johnny Parry. I love that song. And, yeah, I'm very proud of that one. So at the moment, that one's my favourite. But then when I find a new one and I'm ready to release it, that will ultimately become my favourite.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
So do you find that when you look back over the songs that you've written, so like in 2020, 2021, 22, and even ones you've written for this year, can you kind of see like how things have changed in the way you write songs and things like that? You're like, how you're progressing?
Yeah, you can definitely see like that. I definitely have gone back through notebooks and seen lyrics and I'm thinking, what the hell was I thinking when I wrote that? Like, how did that even make the first cut, let alone the final demo stage? Yeah, I mean, and there's a lyric in one of my songs that's still out, that it's just, I'm not even gonna repeat it because I hate it so much, and
okay.
I can't even believe I put it in the song. But to answer your question, yeah, you can definitely see the development. But I think my writing style stays fairly, well, my lyrical style anyway, stays rather consistent, I think, which is good, but it definitely develops and improves. But the kind of tone of the way I write, I think, has stayed quite similar, which I like because I'm comfortable with it. And it's good to push your boundaries, but when I'm pushing the boundaries of absolutely everything else in songwriting, it's nice to have my lyricism stay relatively in the same kind of style.
Yeah. And where do you take your inspiration from then? Does a lot of your songwriting come from like life experiences, relationships, friends? Where does your inspiration come from?
So the world around me, for sure. Everything you just mentioned and more. It's not something I don't struggle for topics, because as I said, there's always something going on in my brain, whether it's something that's happened to me or something I've witnessed or something. There's always something for me to be inspired by.
Because I often find that when I interview people, that a lot of people seem to either write about relationships or the friendships that they've had with people and things like that. So it's quite interesting to see.
Yeah, I think as songwriters, I think we're really, really lucky, because, you know, we can write about absolutely anything. And not only is it like our job, but it's like therapy, well, at least for me anyways. And I think I feel so lucky that I'm able to be like, oh my god, this is my work, but this is also so cathartic.
I think a lot of people think like that, though. I think a lot of people think of it as like a therapy, where they can literally just get their emotions out and the thoughts out of their head and, you know, onto paper or things like that.
I think it's great. I'm glad that people feel like that, because that's what music should be, really.
And there's something special about music, how whatever mood you're in, not even necessarily just as a songwriter or whatever, but even as a music fan, that whatever mood you're in, music kind of brings you back to that sense of normality and uplifts you.
Yeah, I think that's, oh, I'm gonna talk about that. Yeah, I like that. I think there is, like you said, there is music for absolutely everything, and I think that's just so incredible. Like, one singular art form can have a million different effects on a million different people.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it is interesting that music, like you say, it's so diverse that It can appeal to anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
And,
There's something out there
go on,
for
sorry.
absolutely everyone.
There is, absolutely. And speaking of music for everyone, did you get Taylor tickets?
I didn't, but to be honest, that's my own fault because I didn't sign up in time for the pre-sale. So I'm not quite sure what
Oh,
I
bless you.
expected. Yeah, that's my bad. That's my bad. But you know what? Lessons learned. I was hoping she'd come to Manchester so I could just like, so I live in Manchester. I could just hop out the balcony of my apartment and just hear the music. But you know, the closest is Liverpool, so that's not gonna happen. But
Is she not doing Manchester?
no, I don't understand.
Wow.
Like, I was talking to my friend about this just yesterday when we were in town. There are so many artists at the moment, like three of my favorite artists, Taylor Swift, Dylan, and Anne Marie, have like released dates for tours and whatnot, and none of them are coming to Manchester. I just don't understand. What did we do to offend you?
Clearly, Taylor Swift doesn't understand the tribalism between Liverpool and Manchester.
Right? And then she's gone and chosen Liverpool over Manchester. Come on now.
Know. It's almost worth not even wanting to go to see her.
I know, I know.
Was reading something there the other day, and it was saying about how she's making $13 million per night while she's on tour.
Jeez.
Obviously, she's got the tour costs to come out of that 13 million. But let's say her costs are like 10 million a day.
That's still a
30 million
lot of money.
come home with, isn't it?
Like, and her show is 3 hours, so she's making like a profit of 3 million in 3 hours. That's like £1 million an hour.
Mean, no wonder she can pick and choose what city she goes to.
Yeah, I'm just so confused. Like, because people are like, oh, maybe there isn't a stadium big enough, but there's like the Etihad, there's Old Trafford. Like, I'm not a football fan, but those are pretty big, right? Those are pretty big.
I mean, those sort of stadiums, being even seated, they take about what, 70 odd thousand?
Yeah, that'll do. Come on, Taylor. Come on. Come on now.
I did see there was a lot of people, because obviously she's doing America at the moment, isn't she, with the tour? And I did see that a lot of people that obviously couldn't get tickets have all been turning up to the stadiums where she's been performing, and they all stand outside and sing her songs as she's singing them on stage.
I saw a video on TikTok like that. It was like the most heartbreaking but heartwarming thing, like at the same time. It's like people, I think it's incredible like that she has that effect on people. Like people will still travel to a stadium even if they can't get tickets. It's quite impressive, really.
It's very impressive. I mean,
Yeah.
she's got such a loyal fan base.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, and even the people who wouldn't even like call her like, you know, wouldn't say they're a fan of her. Like, I haven't come across anyone who's like, oh no, I don't like Taylor Swift. Like, everyone just likes Taylor Swift. Come on now.
And I think it's interesting because she seems to appeal to all ages as well. It's not just like young people,
Yeah.
it's literally a very wide
Everyone,
group of people.
I'm seeing kids or people like my age in their late teens, 20s going with their parents, and the parents are just as into it as their child, like, and they're not going because they have to accompany their child. Obviously, if their child is 20 years old, they're old enough to go alone, but they're actually like making it a family event because everyone loves Taylor Swift.
And the thing is, I think with her and her sort of songwriting, I mean, granted, she writes about all her exes, doesn't she, most of the time? But even so, she's got a very commercial sound. Her songs are all very memorable, and
Yeah,
it's the
she knows
sort
what she's doing. She honestly, I am in awe of that woman because she's a great musician. Like, that's
of.
no one's gonna deny that, and she's a great singer. But she is also an incredibly smart businesswoman, and I think like the way she thinks is the way that I want to be able to think one day. Because I think she's incredible. She's so smart, and she knows what she's doing. That's why her songs, like you said, are so catchy.
Well, she definitely knows what she's doing, and
Yeah.
she does it. She definitely does it so well. So obviously, Taylor's an influence to your music. Who
You.
else inspires you? And
Oh, good question. I think people when people ask me this, and when people say like, oh, who is your favorite artist, I don't think I can say that I have like a singular artist that's like my absolute favorite, because if you were to take a scroll through my Spotify playlist right now, it is like the weirdest matchup of like every genre of music, every artist that you could imagine. And I think for me, it's more about like, if I hear a specific song, it's like, yep, that's going on my references playlist. I really like this specific part of it. But of course there are artists that I've like loved even before like I started doing music. Like there's an artist called Gabrielle Aplin. I don't know if you know who she is. I've loved her since I was like 9 years old. I remember she was the very first concert that I went to when I turned 14, I think, or whatever the age is, you know, where you're allowed into the concert venues. And me and my mum have gone every time she's been in town, ever since, every time she's on tour. So she definitely, like, she's had an effect on my lyricism, that's for sure. I love the way she writes lyrics. I always have done. I think they're just so clever, but they're so like, there's so much emotion behind them. So yeah, like from a lyrical point of view, Gabrielle Aplin is a huge inspiration for me.
And if you could write a song for any artist, which artist would you like?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. Again, not one I think I can answer, because I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm going to have to not answer that question, because I don't think I can.
To be fair, I thought you would have said Taylor.
I honestly, she doesn't need me. She really doesn't need me. You know, not at all. I'm trying to think, who would I like to write for? I think actually, because I feel Taylor is like pop and genre, and as am I, of course. I think I'd love to write for someone who's in a completely different genre to me, because obviously I don't get as much. Obviously, when I'm a songwriter for some artists, I do get the opportunity to write in a genre that isn't pop. So I think I'd like to write for an artist that isn't in pop, because I think it'd be really cool to kind of put myself in that genre for the recession, you know.
So outside of pop, which genre is like your next favorite one then?
I listen to a lot of, I'm actually just gonna grab my phone right now, and I'm just gonna go on my Spotify playlist so I can give you like names of artists. Where are we? I think I really enjoy, like, I really love rap music. That is my, I'm not going to tell you the name of my playlist, because it's not appropriate, but it's just it's got Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, Doja Cat, love Doja Cat, and you know, just all that kind of sort of, like, I don't know what genre do you call that, I don't know, like, I guess it, because they are rappers, but they're also like, it's like proper musical as well. I don't know, so yeah, I really love that kind of music. Like, my favorite song at the moment is by a new artist called Flyana Boss, and they're just incredible. I saw them on TikTok like a month ago, and I'm obsessed. Again, they're like, you know, in that same sort of genre.
So your Spotify playlist is very varied then, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it just has anything and everything that I find interesting, really. Just kind of goes on it and hit shuffle, wait for a surprise. Yeah, it's fun.
That's a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
So have you got any festival gigs or anything, or any gigs this summer coming up?
I haven't this summer. This summer is for me to kind of get everything together and kind of focus myself a bit more on, to be fair, I kind of know now, I feel a lot more focused than I did like a month ago, but I'm deliberately not doing anything this summer, because I want to have a good, what is it, base, grounding, you know what I'm trying to say, have a good starting point, a strong foundation, that's it. I want to have a strong foundation before I go and kind of establish myself, if that makes any sense.
So rather than like kind of rush out and rush to do everything, you're doing everything very sort of meticulously in a certain way, aren't you, to build yourself to that point?
I think because there's good times to throw yourself in the deep end, but for me, like, my kind of journey in the industry is not one of those times, because I don't want to jump into something that I'm not, like, emotionally or physically, like, prepared for. I want to have that strong foundation so I know what I'm doing and I know that I'm going to be able to ace it, instead of kind of getting myself into a position where I'm like, oh my God, I actually have no idea what I'm doing, I'm really stressed, sort of thing.
That's fair enough. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want to get into a stage where you're like, get stressed with it, because that's when you don't enjoy it.
Exactly. And I have had times like that, excuse me, where I've been, you know, stressing out, and it's been like not fun, because obviously people's jobs aren't always fun. But, you know, where it just gets to a point where it's doing more harm than good, and I don't want to put myself in more situations like that than necessary.
No, it's a good mindset to have, is that, Beth?
Yeah, thank you.
It is, because, you know, I think life's way too short to be in situations that make you stress and don't enjoy.
Exactly.
And music's meant to bring out the best, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is still a business, so I don't expect it to all be like, you know, fluffy clouds and whatnot. But there gets a point for me where I'm have to say to myself, look at it kind of from a third person perspective and say, actually, this is too much now, and I need to just take a second to regroup and kind of refocus myself. And that's something that's really important to me, making sure that my kind of sanity is there before anything else.
Absolutely, completely agree. It's amazing how many people tend to like rush into it and then end up with like feeling over anxious about everything because they've kind of just jumped straight into it.
Yeah, I think, and like, I've definitely been guilty of that, and I think everyone has at some point, you know, regardless of what area of life it is and who you are, like, it's so easy, I think, to kind of see something good and be like, yes, let's do it right now. And then you kind of find yourself completely, I was going to say dismembered, but that's not the right word.
That's not the right word. No, that's not the word.
No.
Discouraged?
Yeah, let's go with that. That's way better. I'm going to have the police turning off at my house. Oh my God. But yeah, I think it's really easy to kind of get sucked into an opportunity that looks really, really good, and then, you know, before it's too late, you've realized that actually it's like a bit too much for you. And I've done that in the past. I've learned my lesson, and now I'm trying to just take things a bit more steadily, I think.
You've got a very mature way of looking at it, and the way you've like dealing with it all.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's like I said, I think that's just come from experiences. And I think I have no doubt that it's like this in pretty much every industry. But the music industry is obviously what I'm used to. So I'm just going to say the music industry is something where you have to really learn really, really fast. You know, if you make a mistake once, it's fine. Like, it happens, but you have to learn and you have to be smart about it. And I think when I first went into it, when I was like 18 years old, I was thinking, oh, I want to make this fun, like, I have to make this fun all the time, like, and if it's not fun, if it's just stress, then it's not good. But that's not realistic, because obviously at the end of the day, it is a job first and foremost, it is a business. And, you know, I hate saying that because I feel like I'm bursting people's bubbles about the wonder of creativity and the wonder of music. but at the end of the day, it is a business.
It is.
And for me, that was the first like shock I had probably a couple of years ago. It proper slapped me in the face when I realized it wasn't all about writing songs and, you know, singing on stage. There's a lot more to it. And I think for me, I really had to accept that because I think I was kind of disappointed at first that it wasn't going to be as smooth sailing as I wanted it to be. So I think very quickly I learned that, right, okay, I really have to actually use my brain right now. And that's the mindset that I'm just trying to keep. Yeah.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Certainly with social media, that it shows you like people's highlights. So in music, you see people that are at a certain stage in their music career and the highlights of that. But the reality is when you're like starting out and when you're moving through the stages, it's not always the highlights that you're always experiencing. There's the highs, the lows, and everything definitely. In between.
Yeah, definitely. And like for me, like I said, that was just not hard to accept, but it was definitely like a bit of a shock. And, you know, there's always a wake up call around the corner to remind you that it isn't just, you know, success. You know, one time out of 100 is going to be what you see on social media. The other 99 times are going to be like the hard work and the stress and everything. And I think it's really important to kind of remember that so you don't get discouraged. So you don't get discouraged and want to walk away, because like it's not smooth sailing for anyone. Like I'll come back to Taylor Swift. Like she, like we haven't seen everything in her journey. We've seen more of this, more successful things.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just how it works. You know, when people are successful, you hear about it. When people not fail, but when they don't, well, yeah, when they fail at whatever they're trying to do, that's not something that people broadcast. Which is why, you know, we don't expect it as much, or at least when I say we, I'm just talking about myself. But
yeah,
I think it's a really, really important thing to remember, because otherwise you will get discouraged thinking, oh my god, why are all these other musicians doing so well and I'm not? And it's like, well, actually they're probably just having as many stresses and issues as you, but like they don't see your issues, you don't see theirs. And for me anyways, that's quite comforting to know that I'm not the only one who's kind of going a bit insane.
I'm sure you're not going insane, Beth.
Oh, that, you know what? Okay. I'll let you believe that.
That's a facade, is it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I think just mentioning, obviously, you mentioned Taylor there. I mean, the one thing you never saw with Taylor is when she was starting out. Whereas like now, people can document everything.
Yeah.
When Taylor was starting out, you never kind of see that stage of her life where she was like starting out.
You're completely right. Like, it is a completely different world.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think most people would agree with me. Social media is a huge, huge fact in it. Like, social media has completely rearranged the way that the music industry works, I think. For example, like when Taylor was whatever she was, 16, I was like 15, 20 years ago, that she didn't have to do any of like this initially. Like, whereas now, if you're an artist who's come out of nowhere, it is kind of like social media is the thing that you need to kind of really utilize. Because you know, when I've walked into meetings with anyone in the music industry, whether it's an A&R, a manager, the very first thing that they'll look at is, you know, how many followers have you got on social media? How do you interact with the people that listen to your music? How do you promote yourself? And whether you like it or not, like, and I'm sure most people like would prefer it not, and like believe me, there are times where I wish this wasn't the case, but that is gonna be a make or break, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your social media presence, And like you say, Taylor Swift didn't have that to contend with when she was younger. But then again, she also had challenges today that, like, I don't have. For example, like, I don't even know how she started out, like, how she got there in the first place. But for me, without TikTok, I wouldn't have had a lot of the opportunities that I do have. So whilst it's a new stress, I feel incredibly grateful for it because it has opened so many doors for me, and I hope it will continue to do so.
I'm sure it will. That's the thing, isn't it, with that's the thing with obviously like TikTok. I mean, you literally can reach a great audience that can make or break it, someone's career.
Exactly. It's actually kind of scary when you, like, I see some things like, or people from TikTok who start out like just posting like a little video, and it can change absolutely anything. It's crazy, really. It's kind of scary when you think about it, that an app and the internet can have so much influence on anybody, regardless of where you come from. But then again, that's the good thing. It gives people who may not have opportunities that others do, it gives them a platform to kind of introduce themselves to the world. But, you know, has its downsides, has its upsides, it's here to stay. So we're just trying to adjust to it, really.
That's not so you can do, Beth.
Yeah.
You just have to embrace it.
Have to embrace it, make it work, make it work for you, and hope for the best, really.
So the song You Are The One, where did that come from? What was the inspiration?
So the storyline that we kind of came up with for this song was actually written in my very first session with producer Johnny Parry, and we were very lucky actually initially, because I kind of came up with this idea thinking, like, saying the storyline is basically there's two people in a relationship, or well, they're not anymore, and they've kind of parted ways quite friendly, and then one of them has kind of heard, you know, through the olive branch, is that the right phrase? I don't know.
The olive branch, yeah.
that the other person has kind of been spreading like dishonest rumors about them, and this person kind of turns around and says, actually, no, you were the one who said this, 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 and this. Like, this is actually your fault, so don't for a second try and pin it on me. And that's where the idea for the song came from. And like I said, we struck oil, really, actually. We sat down, we started writing this song. By the end of the session, we had like a demo that we both knew that we wanted to move forward with. Yeah, that's kind of the creation of the song. It happened very fast, a lot faster than I thought it would have happened.
So when you're in the studio, are you someone who can do things like in one take? Does it take a few takes? What's your sort of way of doing it?
So when it comes to recording a demo, we just do like guide vocals. So it just kind of gives an idea of what the vocals sound like, so the instrumentation can be built around it. And then later on in the session or in another session, we'll go back and re-record the proper vocals we want. When it comes to guide vocals, it's absolutely fine. It doesn't have to sound great. It's just so we kind of have an idea of what it'll sound like. When it comes to real vocals, for me, like, I am in no way a one-take wonder. I will always be like, no, do it again, do it again, do it again. If, you know, even when producer says, oh, I think that take was good, it'd be like, no, do it again. Yeah, that's definitely the way I kind of work, unfortunately, for everyone who has to work with me. But no, I definitely do a lot of takes, that's for sure.
And would people in the studio describe you as a diva or a perfectionist?
Oh my God. I really hope that they wouldn't describe me as a diva. I have to pop a note on the group chat in a minute, be like, guys, a diva. I think I used to be way more of a perfectionist. And it was like especially when I was around like 16, 17, I was a huge perfectionist, and it was definitely a massive I'm gonna say hamartia of mine. It was definitely like a fatal flaw, because it completely stopped me from even getting past the first hurdle, because I wanted to do it perfectly. But now, whilst I am still picky, and I'm still, you know, happy to constructively criticize myself, I'm a lot more kind of relaxed around mistakes, because obviously everyone makes mistakes, and it's just not as important to me anymore to be able to do things perfectly. So I like I said, I do re-record things, and I do pick up on things I want to change, but it's not really, I don't think anyone would describe me as a perfectionist anymore.
And do you find when you're like starting out writing a song, so obviously you say that you started with the piano, do you find your build up of how you think the song's going to sound and how it's going to feel, and then when you get to the studio and record it, it's, you've kind of like changed it because there's different things you actually think might sound better?
Yeah, so let me try and think of a song. Actually, I'll take my very first like demo song. It's called Memory Wipe. It's still out there, but for me, that song was the first one that I took into a studio and like recorded, and it's not very different to the demo I produced on my own. Now, how do I say this without not making sense? Of course, it's a good thing to stick to what you believe, but for me, I was too precious over this demo. So
okay.
The song that is out there, I know actually is not as strong as it could have been, because I went in there, it was this first song, it was like my brain baby, and I was thinking like, no, this is my song, I don't want people to touch it, I don't want to change this, that and the other. So I was just not open to any kind of suggestions, even if it would have made the song so much better. I was thinking, no, I want to do it my way, because it means so much to me. And you know, the song came out, it was all right, you know, it's, you know, I wrote it when I was like 16, 17, I'm still proud of it. But now I go into a session, and if I take a demo in, I'm not going to stop people from picking it apart. You know, I'd much rather the songwriters and producers in the room say, no, that's a terrible idea, take this out, let's switch this out, because this is going to sound more commercial, it's going to flow better, this, that and the other. I think for me, it was just getting over the initial hurdle of, oh my god, this is my song, I don't want people to tear it apart. Because at the end of the day, the more people that have an opinion on it, you know, the more ideas you're going to have, and the more ideas you have, the better the song is going to be.
So do you think Memory Wipe will get reworked then and released at a later date then? Or?
Interesting you ask that, because it has actually already been reworked. It was reworked at the end of 2021, beginning of 2022. And I have the demo, I have the fully mastered track, so if I wanted to, you know, I could just put it out right now. But I purposely haven't released that, because, one, I think that would confuse everyone, you know, just having two separate tracks 2 years apart that aren't, that's, one isn't like a remix or anything, it's literally just two versions of the same song. But again, the way that song was reworked, I don't not like it, but it feels very much a part of my journey in the past now. I don't feel it's something I want to re-release, because it's very much a song that I wrote on my piano when I was first starting out, and I like that, and I don't want to take it and change it, just because I feel like it would be an entirely different song, because I've learned and I've grown, and I will continue to learn and grow so much, to the point where it's just a completely different song, that it wouldn't be worth releasing another song with the same title, because people listen just be like, why she called two completely different songs the same name. Like, and from a less emotional point of view, it would be an absolute nightmare to market.
Or you call it Memory Wipe, the new version.
I could.
But I won't.
I could. But I don't think I will.
So you're open to people's advice, but then you'll not take it.
Yeah. Nail on the head. That's the one.
I'm not offended, Beth. I'm not offended.
No. Yeah.
Oh, bless.
That is the last thing I have to say on the matter. God, I'm going to come off so well in this podcast.
What's the next thing you're working on then at the moment? Without giving too much away, obviously.
I'm just trying to think what I can and what I can't say. No, so at the moment, I desperately want to release more music. I have songs that I wish I could just release right now. But like I said, kind of at the beginning, I don't think that's a smart thing for me to do right now. So I'm going to continue working on them. I'm going to continue putting feelers out for advice from fellow writers and producers. Just to kind of hear what they think, whether they think it's commercial or not, whether they think it's too commercial. And I'm going to, honestly, I'm going to continue just putting demos out on the internet. Because if you want honest advice, go to people on the internet. They are ruthless. They will tell you exactly what you need to hear. Sometimes it's not good, and people definitely should not say half the things they say to people on the internet. But
I would agree with that.
100%. But in this particular instance, when I say, hey, what do you think of this demo? And I play a clip, people tell me exactly what they think. And at this point, that's what I want. Just around my music. But when you're looking at a photo of me, please don't start picking me apart. This is not an invitation for you to bully me. I think I'm going to continue writing different demos, seeing what people think, seeing what I think, seeing what I feel myself is going to be my direction as an artist. And then when I feel more confident in that and I kind of know where I want to be, I will start releasing this music.
It sounds like you've definitely got a direction that you want to go with your music. And I think you're right in what you say. It's like people on the internet are very honest. And I think sometimes people can also not be honest, but just write toxic things. So I think you kind of have to be careful about people on the internet.
I'm going to put a little disclaimer right here. I am not giving anyone permission to start bullying myself or other people online. No, the internet is a horrible place. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's horrible. But if you need an honest opinion and you actively ask for it, you're going to get it.
Yeah. You are.
So again, there's an upside. It's like 1% of the time it's good. And I will use that to my advantage. 99% of the time, just keep your mouth shut. Don't be mean.
Well said.
Yep.
There has been a couple of artists that have taken negative comments from their music and actually made a song out of the negative comments, which I think is quite a nice twist of...
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times before.
Have you?
Yeah, it's really fun, actually. Because it's like, you know, I will never criticize someone for giving an opinion when I've asked for an opinion. You know, if I've asked for an opinion, you know, I've put myself out there. But when people are giving, you know, because it's even like there is a huge difference between constructive criticism and just criticism. And it's like, you know, there's been videos of me online literally just doing nothing, just existing, and it invites in a whole load of comments, whether it's about, you know, my body, the way I talk, the way I look, you know. And then it's when you take those comments and turn them into something cool. Like, not to sound too cliche, but it's incredibly empowering. And it's fun as well, because instead of just saying, screw you, it's like, here you go, here's the thought out response, enjoy.
So will you be releasing any of those then? No.
I can't say what I will and what I won't release. Apart from the rework of Memory Wipe, that's never coming out of the vault. But I, you know, maybe, you know, maybe it just, it really all depends, because I have so many songs and so many demos right now. Even in a million years, I could never release them all. I'm gonna have to be quite selective, and I'm gonna have to think about it from, you know, like kind of like a business point of view. Someone said to me once, actually, with this sticks with me so much, songwrite with your heart, do everything else with your brain. And I think that is a great way to think. Like, for me, that has completely helped me, the way I think about my job. You know, when you're in the studio, you can be completely creative. You don't have to think about any of the rest of it. Once you step out of it, it's what you do next with what you've created that you have to be smart about. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. I'm going to continue to create lots of demos of whatever I feel necessary. I'm not going to force anything. And lucky for me, I have a constant flow of thoughts in my mind. So I'm going to continue to create genuine music that I love. And then the decisions on what I release will be, you know, well-informed decisions.
That's definitely a good way of doing it, Beth. Another question. If you were to have a dinner party and you could invite five people, dead or alive, anybody you want, who would you invite and why?
Oh, okay. I always think about this. I always think about it. You know, I feel like it's the kind of conversation every family has at Christmas dinner.
Yes.
Only five people.
We can have more than five. I just thought, you know, five's reasonable.
Okay, let's stick with five, because otherwise I will just list absolutely everyone. Okay. So I would have Jennifer Lawrence. I love Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's hilarious. I would definitely invite Gabrielle Aplin, that's for sure. Jennifer Lawrence, Gabrielle Aplin, Lizzo, she's so funny. I think that would just be a great dinner party with Lizzo. Although she's vegan though, so I'd have to cater quite carefully.
Well thought there.
Yep. who else? Emma Watson.
Oh. Is that empty seat at the table? Who's taking it?
You can come.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I hope you like everyone I just spoke about. Otherwise, you're not going to have much fun. But yeah, you're more than welcome.
Thanks. It'd be a good dinner party, that, though. To be honest, you've picked a good selection of people. I included myself.
I think it'd be great. Let's make it happen.
But no, that's a good list of people. There'd be some good, strong conversation.
Definitely. Might get a bit loud, but
they're the sort of dinner parties.
That's all part of the fun.
So where can people find you online and to follow your music journey?
So you can find me on all social media, apart from Twitter, because I don't know how to use it. You can find me on all social media at I Am Beth McKenzie. That's MCK in McKenzie. That's it, actually. That's quite easy. Just at I Am Beth McKenzie everywhere.
And don't forget, you can also find Beth on Threads.
Yeah, you can also at I Am Beth McKenzie. I can't say that it will be very productive reading my threads, because they won't make any sense, but I'm having fun, so you know what.
Because you do sort of write some random things on there. I mean, there was one that I saw, I think it was today, yes, about the dislike of paper straws.
Oh my God, I hate paper straws. Like, there has got a better solution to plastic than disintegrating. Oh, don't even get me started. Oh, it makes me so annoyed. They are the worst thing ever.
But yeah, I mean, to be fair, you said you didn't have to use Twitter, but Twitter's just the same as Threads.
I think it is, but it seems a lot more complicated. But maybe that's just because, like you said, it has like the DMs, it has the trending pages, it has this, that, and the other. I'm sure Threads will catch up and become, you know, even more like Twitter within the next few months. But, you know, as Threads develop, I will as well.
Well, it's been absolutely lovely speaking to you, Beth.
Has it?
It has.
Thank you. It's been lovely to speak to you as well.
That was singer-songwriter Beth McKenzie, and a big thank you to Beth for being on the show this week. Please do go and check out her music and follow her on social media too. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. Please join us next week where we'll be chatting to another unsigned and independent artist. Until then, have a great week.